Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, it's good to be here. We're going to do what we always do on Wednesday night. We're going to worship God for a while, but before we do that, we're going to pray. Let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, for thy mercy, and for thy grace. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege to be in thy presence, and we ask, Lord, that thy spirit would be upon all thy people, both those who are here and those who are listening online. We ask, O God, for a touch from thee, for we need thee. We truly need thee each and every day and each and every hour, and we ask, Lord, that thou would be with us here this night. We pray, Lord, that thou would direct each and every step that we go through here this night. We pray that each and everything we do would be according to thy perfect will and according to thy perfect plan. Lead us and guide us and direct us, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We're going to start with number 94 in the chorus book tonight. Wherever I am, number 94. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Sing number 90. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. Number 90.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a word I can. Is a
out number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord. Number 44.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty.
Sing number 34, How Great Is Our God, number 34.
How great is our God, how great is his name, he's the greatest one, forever the same, he will back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'll go with you, just put your trust in me. How great is our God, how great is his name, he's the greatest one, forever the same, he will back the waters of the mighty Red Sea.
We have a request here. I think this is in the chorus book. All right, let me just check this first. Yes, we have a request for number 69, Jesus, I Love You. Yes, I Do, I Do. Number 69.
Jesus, I love you, yes I do, I do. Jesus, I love you, yes I do, sadness, and you gave me gladness. Jesus, I love you, yes I do, I do. Jesus, I love you, yes I do, I do. Jesus, I love you, yes I do, I do. You took my sadness,
number 66. Jesus, I'll never forget. Number 66.
Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget.
And sing He Set Me Free, 108.
He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus. Thank you.
Praise God. Let's turn to number 87 and sing Hallelujah, I'm Walking with the King. Number 87.
Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. I'm walking up the King's highway. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. I'm walking up the King's highway. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. Praise His holy name. Walking with the King. Hallelujah, I'm walking with the King. I'm walking up the King's highway. Praise the Lord.
Turn out number 130 and sing He's My Lord and My God. Number 130. Sing number 131 next. What a day that will be. 131.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, we're going to turn this over to Shirley in a moment. But before we do that, I would just like to ask that you all keep me in prayer. It hasn't been an easy week for me by any means so far. In fact, on Sunday afternoon after church, I had a problem with my right eye. It started hemorrhaging again, and there was a bleed in there. And when that happens, the vision in my eye tends to glaze over, so it's difficult to see anything because the, you know, they get the blood, it spreads in the eye and then thins out, and it's like a fog, really. So that's the condition of my right eye at this time, and thankfully my left eye still works, so I've been relying on that, and then just pray that one doesn't go, because I definitely need it. But yes, I would like very much for this right eye to get better, and I know that it will in time, and I know that the Lord will help me, but right now it's difficult. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, when I go to sleep at night and then I wake up in the morning, the blood in the eyes settles quite a bit, and when I open my eyes, I can actually see quite a bit better. But when I stand up, I think maybe it starts bleeding again or something because my vision deteriorates after I get out of bed. And I can't really realistically stay in bed all the time. I have things that I have to do. So what's really going to make things interesting is actually tomorrow I'm planning to start writing the newsletter. And that's going to be a little more difficult than usual because it's hard to do no matter what. It's not an easy job, but when you only have one eye, that makes it a little harder. So if you could keep me in prayer about that, I'd appreciate it very much. I don't know if it's going to go a little slower or how this is going to turn out exactly, but I'm going to do my best to get that done as quickly as I possibly can. And I tell you what, we do live in a very interesting period of time. Of course, everything is changed again in this country all of a sudden since the CDC came out with that, with those new guidelines where they say, well, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask in public or outdoors or in enclosed spaces unless you're in a big crowd or on public transport. So by and large, you got all of these people who are vaccinated now who are taking off their masks and they're so proud of themselves. But what the problem is, they say if you haven't been vaccinated, you have to wear a mask still. Now, you might ask, well, how can they possibly enforce that? Well, a lot of areas in the country are using what they call the honor system, where they just trust you that if you're not wearing a mask, you've been vaccinated. But in Oregon, the state of Oregon, you have to show proof of vaccination whenever you go into a public place. If you enter a store or a restaurant or a gas station, whatever the case may be, you have to prove that you've been vaccinated if you want to go in there without a mask. And there's a county in California, I don't quite remember which one it is, there's so many of them, where what they're doing is every business in that county in California has to ask their employees if they've been vaccinated. And if they haven't been vaccinated or if they refuse to answer the question, they have to wear a mask at work. Meanwhile, everybody who has been vaccinated can go around mask-free. And, of course, the reason they're doing this is because they want to incentivize getting the vaccine. They want to make life miserable for people who haven't gotten it, so they'll go out and get it. And now they've got all these other incentives, too. The state of Ohio has a big lottery they're doing where you can win thousands, and I think even the grand prize, it might even be $1 million. And then other states are doing this now too. A whole bunch of other states are having special lotteries. If you get the vaccine, you're automatically registered for this lottery. You could win $1 million. And in Ohio, they said after they announced the lottery, vaccine rate shot up 30%. Well, that makes sense. People love their money, so any chance they can find to get ahead, they'll do it. But these are very interesting times we're living in. I know we just had that major hack over on the East Coast on that pipeline there, and they actually did end up paying the ransom to those hackers. From what I understand, the ransom was almost $5 million they paid to, you know, be set free, because all the computer systems for the pipeline were taken hostage. So that really highlights just how dangerous this hacking is getting, because that almost shut down the East Coast. There were, I think, 1,500 gas stations that had no gas whatsoever, and people were desperate, and then others were hoarding it, and they were putting it in, you know, plastic bags, grocery bags, whatever they could find. That really isn't very safe to do anyway. That wasn't the smartest thing. And actually, people hadn't hoarded the gas, they would have been a lot better off, because that's one of the big reasons that people, the gas stations were running out, because people were hoarding it. But, you know, you see these hacks, and there have been other hacks now, and that's going to be an ongoing problem, especially since they paid the ransom. That's only going to be more incentive to the hackers to hack other businesses and try to get millions of dollars. And that is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous situation for this country, because it just goes to show how vulnerable the whole infrastructure is. And, of course, earlier this year, we had that community in Florida where somebody got in and they hacked the water treatment plant and almost poisoned that city that was very near where the Super Bowl was taking place, so I'm sure it was very crowded. You're beginning to see the dangers of hacking, and that's a lot. There's a lot of that ongoing, so it's very serious. And, of course, we're seeing shortages of all kinds of things. Lumber is extremely expensive, and precious metals. There's a shortage of microchips, they say, because people are just binge buying now. They're going absolutely nuts because they think, well, the pandemic is ending, and now they just want to buy anything they can get their hands on. In fact, from reports I've read, they said there's a new trend. People are embracing hedonism. They can't get enough of all of this stuff, and they want to buy possessions, so there's shortages of all kinds of things, and inflation is kicking in, something fierce now, so that is going to be a serious problem in the coming days as well. We truly live in perilous times. Anyway, I'm going to have a whole lot to write about in that newsletter, and of course, we've got all the wars and rumors of wars and trouble in the Middle East and so forth, but that never seems to stop. In fact, it only gets worse and intensifies as we go through time. So much for Trump's peace plan. Well, what does the Bible say when they say peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction? So, you know, you're never going to have peace on earth until Jesus Christ comes back. And even then, you're not going to have peace on this earth, but you will have peace on the next one. So praise God for that. We do have something to look forward to. And what a day that will be when we will see Jesus face to face. Anyway, if you could just keep me in prayer, I'd appreciate it, because I'm going to have a full plate and I've got one eye right now that's working properly. So I'd appreciate your prayers. And we're going to turn this over to Shirley now. She's going to lead us in a Bible study.
Well, praise God. It is so good to know the Lord. It's so good to have His Word. I'm so thankful that we can gather here. We could do nothing without our God, and these are serious moments. These are very serious moments. There is nothing to take lightly at this point. But one thing we know is that our Lord is coming again. Amen. He's coming, and we have much to look forward to. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to begin tonight with prayer here. Praise the Lord. Please pray with me as we join together here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these moments, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful word that you've given us, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you for your promises. We know that they are yea and amen, Lord, and we can stand upon them, Lord. Oh, God, we know this world is sinking, Lord. Oh, God, it's fast, oh, Lord, decaying. And, oh, Lord, it's seeing its end. But, oh, Lord, you are with us, Lord. Oh, God, your promises are with us, Lord. We know, oh, God, your coming is at hand. Oh, God, I pray, O Lord, that, O Lord, you would help us, O Lord, to rest our attention upon the things that matter. Oh, God, I pray, O Lord, that you'd help us, O Lord, to prepare our hearts to get ready to meet you, Lord. Oh, God, that we would see the seriousness of the hour, the great need, Lord, to give heed while we can. Oh, Lord, to live for you while we can, to do what we can while there are yet moments, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you talk to our hearts. God, you know what we need as individuals. Oh God, you know every need, Lord Jesus. We just ask, oh Lord, that you would work in our hearts. Oh Lord, that you give us faith, Lord. Oh God, that you give us peace deep within, Lord. Oh God, that you fill us with the Holy Ghost, Lord, that our lamps would be trimmed and burning, Lord. And oh God, we just ask that you'd have your way tonight here. Talk to us, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Oh, God, you are the potter. We are but the clay, Lord. We need you to, oh, God, allow your word to come alive in our hearts. Oh, Lord, that you'd speak to us. Let the devil be rebuked. And, oh, God, oh, God, the things he tries to, oh, Lord, do to hinder, Lord. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. And, God, I ask, oh, Lord, that you would touch Samuel, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you'd heal his eyes. I pray, oh Lord, when he awakes tomorrow, Lord, not only would he be okay for the moment, but when he stands, I pray, oh Lord, that his eyes would be healed, oh Lord. Oh God, you know this need. I pray, oh God, that you would do this work, Lord. Oh God, for you are here, Lord. You know how to touch us. You know how to heal us. You know how to save us, Lord. You know how to repair our hearts. I pray, oh God, that you minister to us tonight, that you give us faith, Lord, for you know every need, oh Lord, you know your children, Lord, oh God, you know the difficulties, you know the pain, you know the suffering, you know the doubts, you know the fears. I pray that you deliver us, that you put us, oh Lord, oh God, in heavenly places with you, Lord. Oh God, let thy spirit come down, that faith, oh God, come into our hearts in a great and wonderful way, Lord. Pray that you work here tonight, Lord. I pray that you give me words, Lord, and help me to know how to present this message. Oh, God, I pray that you speak to everyone, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that you give us victory in our hearts. Oh, God, that you would have your way, Lord. Oh, God, speak to us. Help us, Lord, not to be double-minded. Oh, God, help us, oh, Lord. Oh, God, to go forward, Lord, and to lean on my promises. And, oh, God, to walk in faith. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, God, I ask for your help in Jesus' name, Lord. I know I can do nothing without you, Lord. Pray that you give me words and, oh, God, the authority, the ability, Lord, the anointing that I need from you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord, have your way, Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts and help us, I ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It is such a privilege to know the Lord. Oh, this world is fast falling, I'll say, you know. These are the strangest of times. I know I had a few minutes to chat with my neighbor boy. I think that was perhaps yesterday. And anyway, you know, he's a young man. He's going to be a senior in high school, actually. And I've had some nice talks with him in the past. But anyway, just able to say hi for a few minutes yesterday. But, you know, he said, it's been a strange year. And, you know, here he is, you know, as young as he is. And you know, just coming out of his mouth. And these have been strange times. Oh, so strange. The things we've never seen before. I know I had an email today from Nancy in Florida, and you know, she was mentioning there that one of her daughters is a nurse practitioner, and she was saying that many of them realize that they do not want the vaccine. There's no way. And this daughter also mentioned that she has noticed, I think they've all noticed, that people who are vaccinated often come back in 2 weeks later, maybe a month later, and they have complications. They are sick. There's all kinds of things going on. Nancy's daughter has tried to warn people and tell them, you know, boy, please don't do it. Don't take that, you know. And yet, you know, they banned her from Facebook, you know. It's just, you know, just simply trying to warn people. But that's the times that we are living in. The devil is going forth, trying to seek and to devour whomsoever he can. And he's going forth, knowing he has but a short time. But you know what? I thank God there are people that know their God. And despite what is going on in this world, I'll tell you what, if we're not seeing the mark of the beast, we will soon, from what I'm seeing. This is really, very serious, what is coming upon the face of this earth. And I don't know, it does seem that there is proof that this vaccine, it can track and trace and keep records of people and, record their date of birth, their address, all their details when they were vaccinated the first time and they're vaccinated the second time. And according to one clip that I saw, it could tell that this individual was sleeping. Listen, folks, we must all look to God with all our heart. We know that he has promised to keep us, and he is going to come suddenly. He's going to come, but it's going to be as a snare upon the face of this earth. And so many are going to be taken in that snare. But as children of the Lord, we have a wonderful hope. And oh, yes, we know that he is going to come. This is going to be over. And yes, in that way we can rejoice, because we know that our redemption draweth nigh. Oh, praise the Lord. I was just reading in Jeremiah chapter 25 a little bit, and I'm just going to just read a few verses here as I begin. It says here, Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 30. Therefore, prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout, as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. And it says in verse 32 here, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Oh my, that day is coming. Oh, we can count as that being a surety, something that certainly will come to pass. And as we're seeing these things being fulfilled before our very eyes, listen, folks, it is time to look up and realize that our redemption draweth near. Jesus said in Luke 21, when we begin to see these things come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. How close are we? How close are we? Oh, I don't know. All I know is it's close. And we better be looking for the Lord Jesus to come, because he surely will come. He surely will come and not tarry. And oh my, we want to be ready when he comes. That must be our desire from deep within, that we must be ready. We must be getting ready to meet the King. Amen. Amen. These are serious moments. Oh, yes, we need to take heed. We need to get serious. Praise the Lord. We need to listen. Oh, my, and not let anything distract us in this earth while we yet have a little time. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been talking about getting ready to meet the King, and I think this might be the last message in this series. I've been going to the book of Colossians, and Lord willing, going to finish it this evening. But, oh my, before I go to Colossians, I just would like to go to 2 Corinthians for a moment. Oh, yes. It's a wonderful thing when our hearts have been turned over to the living God. We have the understanding that Jesus Christ is coming again. Oh, yes, we know that with great certainty. And yes, we've obeyed the gospel, that need to enter in at the straight gate. And yes, that need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. And yes, having done those things, you know, in that mode where we have prepared our hearts, we want to go on growing in grace and in knowledge in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh yes, we want to run this race with patience. We want to be ready when He comes. And oh yes, we realize that, oh, if we have come to that place, we are going on to that place called perfection in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, to be established and to be strengthened and to be settled. Yes, I think I had the order wrong in that last part there. But praise the Lord. The Lord takes us, oh, as we are. But oh my, how He begins to make a new creature out of us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17 here. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Praise the Lord. We've talked about that, how the Lord takes us as we are. But oh, He begins to change us as we come to Him, as we give our lives over to Him, as we surrender our wills to Him. And you know, it is so amazing how the Lord changes us. You know, it could even be that ambitions and, you know, goals that we had in a former time when we walked in the ways of the world are completely changed. The way we think, the way we dress, the way we talk, everything begins to change in our lives. Amen. Our priorities, our focus, everything becomes different. Amen. Because, yeah, the old things, the way of sin, the way of the world are no longer what we are walking in. They aren't our ways of life. Amen. It tells us here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, that is so beautiful. Oh, yes, our wonderful, gracious God, who put on flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. What He was doing, He was reconciling us to Himself. God Almighty was reconciling us to Himself through the gift of Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, He was bringing us back. He was redeeming us. He you know, He was putting us in fellowship with God again. Praise the Lord. These things that had been lost through sin and all its consequences. But praise the Lord. Yes, God's wonderful plan. And oh, yes, as we become new creatures in Christ, it tells us again, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the good news of the gospel. You can be reconciled to God. You can be brought back to God. You can have fellowship with God. You can know God. You can be born again. Or you can have a clean life. You can be forgiven your sins and your trespasses. Praise the Lord. That is the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 19 here tells us, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Praise the Lord. He wasn't charging us with our trespasses. He wasn't imputing it, in other words, oh my, you know, putting it on our account and you know, making it impossible for us to be reconciled. No, he wasn't doing that. No, instead he was making a way that we could be redeemed, that we could be brought back to God, that we could be reconciled. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he's committed unto us that message, that word of reconciliation. Verse 20 tells us, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Praise the Lord, we become his voice, his messengers, his ambassadors. Praise the Lord, we're on a mission. We're representing the kingdom of God to this world. If we're walking with him, if we're walking in the light, then we are a light to this world that lieth in darkness. Amen. We become ambassadors for Jesus Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Oh, that's the cry of our hearts. Turn your lives over to the Lord. Get right with God. Make your peace with God. Come to him now and be reconciled. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus Christ took on our sin. He knew no sin of his own, but he took our sin that we might be clothed with his righteousness. Praise the Lord, that we might be redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might be brought back to God, reconciled. Praise the Lord. What a gift we've been given. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. To become in that place where, yes, we're, oh, yes, the workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it tells us in Ephesians, that second chapter, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we become God's workmanship. Oh, Lord, you know, his creation. Praise the Lord. And, oh, yes, I thank God for such a wonderful word that he has given us to share. Oh, the very words of life, that you can come to Jesus Christ and find peace in God, that you can be brought to God, you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Colossians now. And I anticipate in finishing this book. I believe it's been, a good piece to tell us how to get ready to meet the King. It covers so many aspects. You know, in the first chapter, it told us in verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Praise the Lord. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Praise the Lord. Nothing to condemn us. No blame, no reproof needed, because he bought us. We're redeemed. And he took us and he worked in us. He changed us. He made us new creatures in Christ. Praise the Lord, so we could be presented as holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Of course, there is a condition to this, verse 23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Amen. So praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we don't want to be moved away. Like I said, these are serious moments. Life is serious anyway. Oh, yes, not that we could, you know, never smile or never giggle or any of that. But no, we've got to realize that this life is all about getting ready to meet the Lord. Oh, yes, so that we can be right in His sight when He comes back, when we stand before Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes. There were warnings in the second chapter of Colossians because, you know, there was, you know, a problem that, you know, there were some things entering into this body at Colossae that, you know, were, you know, of Christ. You know, some aspects of Judaism and then some kind of Gnostic type of mentality and you know, there were some, you know, fears that, you know, things weren't going the right way spiritually in this body here of believers at Colossae. And Epaphras had actually come to Paul, who was in prison, and you know, I must have sought his counsel from what I can gather. And anyway, you know, Paul made it very clear, verse 8 here in Colossians 2, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise the Lord. We don't have to go any other place to find the living God. It's all through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Oh, that gift of salvation that He bought for us. Praise the Lord when He gave His life on Calvary. Praise the Lord. And yes, we went into the third chapter of Colossians last week, and here, oh, it tells us the very need that if we are risen with Christ, that we need to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And that second verse here in Colossians 3 tells us, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Our treasures need to be in heaven, not on this earth. Our affections on the things that are above, our goal, our aspirations, our motives, all need to be headed towards the kingdom of God and doing the will of God. Praise the Lord. Yes, because He said, for ye are dead. We die out to the old man, the old way of life. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Praise the Lord. That's what becomes important. You know, we give it to the Lord. And oh, He moves in us. He molds us. He shapes us. Oh my, He counsels us. And we can walk with Him. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. But oh my, goes on to tell us things that we need to dispense of in our life, even to mortify those things which are upon the earth. And all those lusts were brought up in this third chapter of the book of Colossians, which need to be put down, to be mortified, to be stomped on, to be killed. Oh, no part of that in our lives. And He mentions fornication, uncleanness, and oh my, I think the acts of homosexuality and beyond all go into that category. Inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, all those evil lustful desires, inappropriate affections, and boy, there's plenty of that in this world. And He talks about covetousness, which is idolatry. Oh, the greed for things that belong to somebody else. And it is compared to idolatry in this scripture. And it tells us in verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. So they don't belong in the lives of Christians. No matter what everybody else is doing, and I'll tell you what, everything has been so dumbed down that people don't know what is right and what is wrong. They don't know what sin is anymore. People look at what everybody else is doing and model themselves likewise. I'll tell you what, we need the Bible. We need God's Word. We're so privileged to have these epistles. Oh, these guides, you know, to show us what life needs to be about when we're in Christ Jesus. You know, oh yes, we don't want God's wrath to come upon us, you know. We were just going, you know, like everybody else. We were thinking like everybody else. We were living like everybody else, we thought. We were still okay. We thought we were still a Christian. And there's so many people like that. But that is going to invoke the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And then, you know, we're told that, you know, beyond that, we need to watch our mouths. And oh, let the Lord take our tongue, that unruly member, and change us so, you know, we don't have anger and wrath and malice and desire to harm others, and blasphemy, and filthy communications coming out of our mouth. Oh, Lord forbid that we'd ever take the Lord's name in vain. Oh, Lord forbid that we talk like the rest of the world and curse and swear and, you know, say the F words and everything else and all the horrendous things that come from the mouth. I'm so glad the Lord Jesus takes our tongue. Oh, yes, He fills us with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That vessel, that little vessel, that, you know, that little instrument, you know, inside our mouth that causes so much damage and hurt and pain. You know, you can, you know, be sorry about what you said, but wow, how can you take your words back, really? Thank the Lord that He forgives us. Praise the Lord. But we don't want any of these characteristics, any of these traits, any of these you know, ways of communicating that are evil to be a part of us. And we certainly would not want to lie one to another, seeing that He put off the old man with his deeds. Man, so those things need to go. In the name of Jesus, they need to go. Amen. And oh, yes, this is just a partial list, really. But all the Spirit of the Lord begins to talk to us so that we know what is right and what is wrong. Besides, we have His Word. And then He begins to tell us how to put on the new man. Oh, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Oh, in His kingdom, where there isn't Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all. And in all, praise the Lord. So yes, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're going to, you know, show another side, the nature of Jesus Christ as He left of God. Oh, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14 tells us, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, that love that Jesus Christ showed for us when He died on the cross to save us from our sins. That unselfish love that He gave for us, that we might know salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. We want to put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, it tells us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. That's, oh, yes. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. And verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Praise the Lord. And then in our walk with the Lord, He begins to tell us how to conduct ourselves. And yes, it talks to wives. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Talks to husbands. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Talks to children. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And then it even talks about servants. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Praise the Lord, to do everything unto God as we can. Of course, if they tell us to do something that opposes God, oh, the brakes are on. But otherwise, we do what we must do unto God. It says in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Isn't that thought-provoking? Oh my, you know, there's, you know, a lot to give and take sometimes in this world. You know, judgments are not necessarily made according to preciseness or exactness. Standards change, thinking changes. You know, people have favorisms at times and show it. But with God, it isn't going to be like that when you stand before Him. Oh, He is not going to show respect of persons in any way when we stand before Him. We'll either hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or we'll hear Him say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I know you not. Oh, what a need to make sure our lives are in accord with God, how that they are right in God's sight. That's striving to get ready to meet the King. Amen. So we can stand before Him and hear Him say, well done. Amen. Going into chapter 4 now, and here it just continues a little bit with what we had dealt with there, our way of life, our conduct. It says in verse 1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. And isn't this interesting? You know, that isn't the way a man of himself, you know, people that are in charge often have their own way of thinking and their own expectations. And a lot of times, yes, they show respect in one way or the other, and they are not just and equal in their thinking. But here, long before there were labor laws and unions and all those kind of things to try to make people a little better, if that even was possible, this advice is coming from the mouth of Paul. You know, I believe he was speaking through the inspiration of the Lord Jesus, that need as a master to give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Oh, and that we must always regard. But yes, that was his advice to those that we're in charge in that capacity. Amen. Isn't it good? Praise the Lord. And then verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And how important it is that we continue in prayer and watch. Oh, you know, that was often one of the themes that Jesus brought forth with his teachings. And oh, I remember how it was in Gethsemane when, oh, he needed help so desperately at that moment, so hoping that there would be others that would pray with him at that moment. And yet they all slept. Their hearts were heavy and they could not, it seemed, watch and pray with him. But he told them, oh yes, when he found them sleeping there in Gethsemane, Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh yes, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think that is quite true. Oh, how hard it can be sometimes. Oh, yes, as we fight all kinds of battles in this life. Oh, yes, our spirit, you know, has great desires. Sometimes our flesh is very weak. And, oh, we don't always manage, oh my, to get to that height that the Lord Jesus wants us to get to. But here they are being told, those at Colossae, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And verse 3 tells us, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak of the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And here is Paul. He is writing this while he is imprisoned. And it was after his trip to Jerusalem. This is between the times 60 and 62. He was in prison for 2 years. He was released after that point and then later imprisoned again. And that led to his death. But this is his first imprisonment from AD 60 and AD 62, and he had been given some favor, you know, because, you know, he was allowed, you know, to have visitors. He had a house that was given us, as we're told in the book of Acts, and you know, he was allowed to have people come to him, and many did, and here he's asking that the church would pray that God would open up a door of utterance so that he could continue to speak the mystery of Christ. Oh, the hope of the gospel for which he said he was bound. Oh, that wonderful, oh yes, hope that we have within us. Praise the Lord for what he has done. Oh, praise the Lord, that gift of salvation. Oh, yes, and in that understanding that the door of salvation was not opened unto just the Jewish people, but also unto the Greek. And this was something that had not been understood in earlier times. Ephesians, the third chapter, there are verses that bring this out really quite clearly so that, you know, we understand, oh, what was all behind this mystery of Christ. Just in a few words here, Ephesians 3, verse 4 tells us, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, there are so many things that hadn't opened up unto them until this dispensation of grace and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, so that they could understand this wonderful gift. Praise the Lord. He spoke of it in Colossians, the first chapter, too. He said in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And listen to this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, praise the Lord. That was something that the prophets of old could not comprehend. Oh, the wonderful plan of salvation. How God would come to this world as the Son of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ. He would come to this world, walk among the people, and then die for our sins, taking upon himself the sins of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. And then, praise the Lord, of course, death could not hold him. The wonderful resurrecting power of God raised him from the dead. And praise the Lord, after he ascended back into heaven, he sent back the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord, the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord that he could be in a people, that he could send forth his Spirit and dwell in his people. Amen. Oh, that had not been understood before the Holy Ghost was poured out, before Jesus came to this world. But what a gift we have been given. Praise the Lord. And it goes on to say here in Colossians 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. How we need God's wisdom. How we need, oh, to walk in wisdom. Oh my, you know it takes wisdom to win souls. He that winneth souls is wise, we're told in the Proverbs. And so we need to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Oh my, to know when to speak, to know when to be quiet, to know how to go forth, you know, and all those things as the Holy Ghost prompts us. And redeeming the time, yes, we need to redeem the time. The days are evil. Oh, time disappears so fast anyway. And then it tells us in verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Oh, talking about the wisdom of God. Oh, yes, help us to know how to bring forth the word of God, how to be a light. Oh, seasoned with salt. And you know, that is so interesting because, you know, salt, it's a little fussy, you know. If you put too many, you know, grains of salt upon your food, you know, it's going to be too salty. And if you don't have enough on it, you know, it's not going to have much taste. Salt has savor to it, and you know it. It's, if it doesn't have savor, as Jesus told us, then it's good for nothing. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 5, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men? Oh my, so yeah, we want to be a salt that has savor, that is effective, that can do the job, that we can go forth and do God's will, that we can be an effective light in this world of darkness, and have that wisdom that we might know how we ought to answer every man. Praise the Lord. That's being led by the Holy Ghost. That's letting the Lord guide us and direct us and show us how and when and where to speak by his grace and by his mercy. Oh, praise the Lord, to be a light in this world. Oh, to be the salt of the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then as he begins to conclude this book. He talks about some of the individuals that have been with him, and first of all, he talks about the two that are going to carry this letter to the church at Colossae. So he says in verse 7, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." So yes, he was going to send Tychicus to bring forth this letter and to, you know, tell them of his affairs and also to know of theirs and to comfort their hearts. Amen. And with him, he was going to send Onesimus, as it tells us in verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. And I think that is so interesting because Onesimus was a runaway slave. The book of Philemon tells us about Onesimus. In the book of Philemon, Paul is appealing to this nobleman. He's a believer. He lives in Colossae, it seems, and, you know, obviously he was a man of means. We believe that, you know, he was in charge of that city, the bishop of Colossae, and, he was a man of means. But it obviously happened that he had a slave that ran away. And, you know, the marvel of this whole thing is that somehow this slave, whose name was Onesimus, connected with Paul. And through Paul's ministry, he was converted. It's quite an amazing thing. So in the book of Philemon, Paul is writing to this man, Philemon, and, you know, asking him to have mercy on Onesimus. Onesimus is going to bring, you know, this letter that he has written, the book of Philemon, to him, and it's an appeal. It's quite an appeal. We just look at it here. Verse 10 here in Philemon says, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him," that is, mine own bowels, "whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefits should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." And this is so beautiful because obviously here was this man, and, you know, unprofitable, it appears, at a certain time, and whatever all went on there, not so sure, because, you know, Paul says in verse 18, "If he hath wronged thee or owed thee in aught, to put that on mine account." And, you know, so we don't know all the details, but somehow Onesimus met the Apostle Paul, and somehow the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ reached unto him, and he was saved. He was converted. He became a brother in Christ. And now Paul is sending him back so that he can make everything right with the man who was his master, Philemon. So anyway, he's also, Paul is also beseeching Philemon that he would be merciful. and that, you know, he would forgive all the things that had gone wrong previously, and now that he would receive him as a brother. And, you know, according to, you know, whatever degree Philemon, you know, if he wanted to hold on to him or if he would send him back to Paul, because, you know, Paul had grown to love this man, Onesimus, and he was very valuable to Paul in his bonds. So, you know, he's just kind of beseeching him. You know, he says in verse 19 here in Philemon, "I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." Oh, he was hoping that his spirits would be refreshed, that Philemon would see fit to forgive him and receive him as a brother, and let the things of the past be forgiven and forgotten by the grace of God. And Paul had confidence that Philemon would do the right thing. Verse 21 says, "Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And Paul was trusting that he could journey at some point, that he would be released and be able to, you know, stay there in Colossae and, you know, be with those people. "But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then he says, "Therefore salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." So that man, we're going to be reading of him in a few minutes here, I believe. And then Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, or Luke, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But what a story. Oh, and now he was sending here in the book of Colossians, he was sending Onesimus back with Tychicus, to make matters right. And also they were going to greet the church that was at Colossae. And then here in this fourth chapter of Colossians, Paul continues by saying in verse 10, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom he received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him, and Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me." And I think this is so interesting too. In verse 10, he mentions Aristarchus, who was a fellow prisoner. And, you know, Aristarchus is mentioned in the book of Acts too. Is, you know, he was a traveler with Paul, he appears, along with some others like Tychicus and Timothy. Some others are mentioned back there in the book of Acts, so he's, saluting or greeting the church there at Colossae. And then he mentions Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. And this is so interesting too, because I believe this is John Mark. And, this is interesting. John Mark appears in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. That's the home where the people had gathered when Peter was imprisoned and, expected to be taken by Herod and killed. And when Peter was miraculously delivered from prison, and he realized it finally when he saw the street, the angel had left, and there he was. He went to the home of Mary, and yes, the mother of John Mark, and also the connections. I know Brother Samuel mentioned how these names, these people knew each other back in the day, and you can see when you read the epistles how they all kind of, you hear them here and there in other places. It just really begins to put everything together. But, this John Mark, he had traveled with Paul, his first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas together, and you know, Barnabas had wanted to take his nephew, John Mark, and so they had a threesome there, that first part of their first missionary journey, and particularly covering Cyprus at that point. But there was a point when John departed. He was at Perga and Pamphylia on that first missionary journey. And obviously, we don't know the reasons or the why for it, but it displeased Paul. And when it came time for the second missionary journey, Paul was still disturbed that John had departed from them at Perga. And you know, so when it came time for that second journey, Paul did not want to take John Mark along with him. There was contention between them, and it was great. It tells us it was so great that instead of Paul going on the second missionary journey with Barnabas, he went with Silas. And Barnabas took John Paul with him on his travel. So they separated. But you know what? I'm so glad the Lord knows how to take us and mend us. There are times of misunderstandings and things go wrong sometimes. Sometimes there are points of contention. But the Lord knows how to mend it. And obviously, this, you know, this dispute, this point of tension between Paul and Barnabas, and then John Mark was obviously, you know, softened and came to a point where it was no longer there. And I do note that in Paul's very last epistle before he was executed, 67 or 68, perhaps, there as he is writing in 2 Timothy, he is asking Timothy if he can bring John Mark with him. I don't know what began to be, what was they were able to fulfill there. I know it was the very end of Paul's life, as you know, he wrote that fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. But you know, you can see that breach was mended for the grace and mercy of God. And I think that is just so beautiful. Like I said, things go wrong here on this earth, and sometimes there are misunderstanding and things that, you know, just send forth contention. But thank the Lord. The Lord knows how to heal. I'm so grateful. Our God is so good to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So continuing here in Colossians 4, verse 12, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Oh yes, Laodicea was like 12 miles away from Colossae, and I believe Hierapolis was very close also. It was kind of a hub there. And anyway, a city that was known for its dyes and other things. It had an influx of travelers and all. And so anyway, here he's mentioning Epaphras. And we spoke of him in the first chapter of the book of Colossians. He was the minister. He was perhaps the founding father of that church. And here, oh my, we hear and read of his zeal for these people of Colossae. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, the great desire of his heart. Amen. That those people that he had ministered to would, oh yes, be able to stand before the Lord complete and perfect in the sight of God. Amen. And then as he's ending this letter, he says in verse 14, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And then he says in verse 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And of course, like I just said, Laodicea was a close distance, and obviously they had a lot of connections, Colossae and Laodicea. Nymphas was apparently the pastor at Laodicea, and the church was in his house. So we get these little details, we glean these little things here, as you know, Paul is addressing those that would read this epistle. He says in verse 16, and when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And what a thought here. Archippus is mentioned also in the book of Philemon. Yeah, obviously there's a very well, Philemon was in Colossae too. And it appears that Archippus was, you know, the minister in charge at that point when this book was being written. And here are the words that Paul penned to him particularly. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I think how it is in our lives. You know, as we're striving to prepare our hearts to meet the Lord, oh yes, that we might stand holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Oh yes, you know, the desire of our hearts that we would fulfill the will of God. That little bit that He has committed unto us to do. Those things, you know, those gifts that He has given us, those particular portions of the, you know, the commitment that He has given unto us. Oh, how we want to fulfill the will of God in our lives. Oh, praise the Lord. That is such a desire. Life is short. But what we do in this short little life is going to affect our eternity. And there is such a need that we would make our calling and election sure. Oh, yes. As Paul wrote to the church that was in Philippi. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, Paul wrote in chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Oh, yes. Paul worked hard for the cause of Christ. Oh, he had a heart that kept on going forth to do the will of God. And how he desired that those people that he had labored, that he had worked with, that had been converted through his ministry, that he had been an instrument of somehow, that, oh my, that they would come forth blameless and harmless as the sons of God, being without rebuke Though we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, oh, praise the Lord, but oh, yes, the light of God. Oh, despite the darkness, Paul was talking about the spiritual darkness in his day. And we see it now, oh my, we see it in these times that are so strange and full of confusion and trouble like we've never seen before. Oh my, all kinds of things coming upon the face of the earth. But yet, we have a goal, we have a mission. We need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to do the will of God, to do His good pleasure, to do it without murmurings, without disputing, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Oh, praise the Lord. He says in verse 16 here in Philippians 2, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Praise the Lord. And yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Oh, the purpose and the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mission that He has committed unto us, oh, that need to work while it is day, that night is coming in which no man can work. And as Paul wrote to the church at Colossae as he ended his epistle there, oh, he said again to Archippus at verse 17, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received of the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And he ends by saying in verse 18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. There he was, imprisoned there. Oh, yes, in Rome. But praise the Lord, despite those chains. And well, he did have some liberty there. Comparatively, the second time he was imprisoned, it was much more severe. And of course, it led to his death. It is believed that he was beheaded. But anyway, what words we have been given by a man that, you know, was inspired by God, who was awakened by God, who was called of God. Oh, yes, words that would help the church to get ready to meet the King. Oh, that we could meet Jesus in peace. And that we could be presented to Him, oh yes, as faithful servants of the Most High God, a people that have made their calling and election sure, a people that can stand without sin and blemish on that day when we stand before the Lord, where He is no respect of persons. Now, there is a warning that I want to end with here. Revelation, the 16th chapter, verse 15. Jesus is declaring. He says in verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Oh, we have opportunity right now to prepare our hearts, to get ready to meet the King. We are all going to stand before God, and how we must be clothed with His righteousness, how we must be walking in faith, oh, with clean hearts, with upright spirit, with our lamps trimmed and burning, oh, the oil of the Holy Ghost fervent in our hearts, so that, oh, not only do we have lamps, but we have oil. We have oil for those lamps. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. We are watching. We are waiting. We have made ourselves right in the sight of God by His mercy and by His grace, so that we can be presented unto Him holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We can be clothed with His righteousness, so we don't have to walk naked and our shame being seen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank God that we have opportunity. I thank God that we have a little time. We can give our hearts to God right now. We can turn to Him right now. We can repent right now. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. Praise the Lord. We can make our calling and our election sure by the grace of God. Praise the Lord. For surely He will come and not tarry. And how we must be right in His sight, praise the Lord, presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're getting ready to meet the King. Praise the Lord, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We know that Thou art coming. I pray that You would speak to every heart, Lord. I pray, oh God, that You'd cause us all to be stirred within. I pray, oh Lord, that You'd help us to make our calling and election sure. Oh God, that we would do those things, that we would give heed, Lord. Oh God, that we would stand as faithful servants in Thy sight. Oh God, and be ready to meet Thee, Lord. Oh God, working for Thee, laboring for Thee, our minds on Thee, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, not given to the things of this world, oh Lord, but our hearts set on heaven, Lord, our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. Oh God, help us, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're getting ready to meet the King. He's coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 111 and sing I Shall Know Him, number 111.
I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands.
Praise. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful night. Be safe.